Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are working our way through the Gospel of Matthew, and it is an absolute delight to do that. Every time I read St. Matthew's words, I am transformed by these words. They always remind me of what I've given my life to. They always ground me in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And in Matthew chapter 3, of course, we're talking about John the Baptist, who is preaching a gospel of repentance. And the chief priests, they come out to see what's going on. So you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're coming from Jerusalem, from Judea, from the land around the Jordan. They want to see what's going on when all of these people are coming to be baptized by John the Baptist. So St. Matthew says, but when John the Baptist sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he says to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Let me stop there. First of all, the Sadducees, these are priests that oversee the temple and direct the political affairs of the Jews. But they had a distinctive. The distinctive was that they denied the resurrection. We used to say, somewhat humorously, that they were sad, you see, the Sadducees, because they did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the capstone in the arch of Christianity. If there is no resurrection, says the Apostle Paul, then eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. It's the resurrection that is the highlight of the Christian calendar, the highlight that we fast toward, that we prepare ourselves for. Again, this is the epicenter of the Christian calendar. Well, they denied the resurrection, and they believed there would be no eternal reign of Messiah. So they denied the essentials of the Christian faith. So you can imagine why you have John the Baptist calling them a brood of vipers. This is something that Jesus will say later on in Matthew chapter 23. The Pharisees were also an important group of people, priests, focused on stringent study of law. They taught that one's righteousness was predicated on obedience to the law. And that was no small thing. I mean, you had 613 laws that you had to adhere to. These Mosaic laws were a great weight placed upon the people, a weight that no one could really bear, not even the priests themselves. And of course, you may recall that Paul was a Pharisee. He believed fervently in the resurrection and a coming Messiah as a Pharisee. And here you have, again, John the Baptist calling these religious leaders out for what they were, a brood of vipers. And this is because they were deceptive, they were malicious. And he's wondering, why are you here? You're not really here for the right reasons. And he's thinking to himself their thoughts and speaking them out loud. He's saying, you are saying to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. But I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. I think about the significance of this passage whenever I think about Galatians chapter 3. Here you have the apostle Paul, who has been utterly transformed. He's confessed, he's repented, he's been baptized, he's utterly transformed. And the apostle Paul is talking about Abraham in Galatians chapter 3. And there he says that Abraham only had one seed, and that seed is Jesus Christ. And he goes to great pains to point out it's not seeds plural, it's seed singular. The double entendre, if you read through Galatians chapter 3, is at the end of Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says this. He says that if you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and you are an heir according to the promise. And he makes this plain. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or you're Greek. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter whether you're slave or free. It has no bearing whatsoever on your station in life. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It has nothing to do with your gender. And there is a gender distinction. But it doesn't matter. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and you are an heir according to the promise. So the apostle to the Gentiles is pointing out that there's only one seed of Christ because there's only one Jesus Christ. And if you are in Jesus Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. So don't say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, because the Gentiles also have Abraham as their father if they are in Abraham's one seed, Jesus Christ. And then St. Matthew goes on to say, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. When we're baptized under the new covenant, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Baptism is not a mere initiation rite. It's not saying, well, I've now joined a club. Baptism is a sacrament. Unfortunately, there are those in churches around the world that have taken the sacramental nature of baptism and dispensed with it. They've made baptism something that we do for God, as opposed to something that God does within us. When we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, as Father Josiah Trenum has put it, when you're baptized, you're washed, you're cleansed, you're renewed, your temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're united to Christ, and you're incorporated into the body of Christ, His church. So baptism is very significant, and when baptism takes place, something happens within you. The water of baptism symbolizes the Holy Spirit, but also the fire that takes place when the Holy Spirit resides within you. There is a fire that comes from the Holy Spirit, that fire emblematic of an uncreated energy that transforms you from glory to glory. When I come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about that fire, those uncreated energies of God that transform, not only transform you, but that give you the ability to transform the world, not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. Again, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more of Matthew chapter 3. So please don't touch that dial. And as we go to break, as I frequently do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I want to thank all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth that facilitate the work of this ministry by giving and touching the lives of people all around the world. We come back from the break. I'm going to talk about what it means to be baptized not only with the Holy Spirit, but with fire.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before the break, we're talking about being baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire. And I'm so struck by what John the Baptist says, that he is not worthy to carry even the sandals of our Lord. He's saying, in effect, that he is lower than a slave, that the old covenant could not do what the new covenant could. Only Jesus can transform the world. And Jesus, in baptism, transforms believers in such a way that they repent, they're forgiven, they're washed, they're cleansed, they're incorporated into Christ, they're united to the church, and their temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. This fire is emblematic of the energies of God Himself. I wrote about this in a book called Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. And in this book, I talk about how this fire is emblematic of participating in the very life of God Himself. The energies of God manifest in our life are the divine life itself. It is no longer I who live, says the Apostle Paul, but Christ lives in me. And that's what I call the life that matters more. And I picked up the book because there's an illustration that I write about in my book. It's a vibrant image by St. Gregory, who likens the deified life to the vivid image of an earthen pot in a kiln. And I want to get his illustration across to you as perfectly as I can, so I'm not going to paraphrase it. Let me read it. This is what St. Gregory Palamas says, this 14th century saint, who, if you haven't read about him before, don't know much about him, read my book or Google him. He is worth knowing about. But this is what he writes. He says that when a pot is in a kiln, an earthen pot, it's in a kiln, it shares the very life of the fire. It takes on its hot and burning qualities, and then becomes capable of transferring that very energy to something else. When removed from the fire, the pot still participates in the fire's effects. Think about it. An earthen pot in a kiln, it takes on the properties of fire. It actually takes on the color of the fire. It is directly participating in the fire. And when it's taken out, it still participates in the fire's effects, but it no longer participates in the energies of the fire itself. And then says Gregory Palamas, the participation in the energies of the fire is the truer participation than the participation of the effects. Thus, while all creatures participate in the effects of their Creator, not all participate in God's very life. That is reserved for the saints. If you're a believer, you're called a saint. The saints who have God not only as a maker, but also as Father through divine adoption. And that's what we are. We're divinely adopted sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the fire, the energies of God, the uncreated energies of God, transform us, again, as St. Paul says, from one glory to another, an ever-cascading effect. And that not only happens in this life, but it's going to happen for all eternity we're going to forever become more and more godlike, never ever participating in the Godhead or identity of essence, but becoming more and more godlike. So those who participate in the kingdom become more and more like God. They are deified one from one degree to another. The exact opposite happens to those who participate in the kingdom of Satan. They become more and more beastly. They participate in the nature, as it were, of Satan. St. Peter talks about this in terms of becoming more like brute beasts. So you either can become more like God, or you can become more beastly. And this is something, again, that is a transition taking place for all eternity, because the Christian faith is not just punctiliar. It's just not a moment in time. It is a progression. So we are not just involved in a transaction. We are being transformed by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit and fire. Much more could be said about this. I wrote a whole book about this, of course, but I think it's important to have some sense of what is going on at baptism as a sacrament, not as something we do for God, but something that God does by His grace in us. And it is within the church that we receive the graces that transform. Anyway, John the Baptist says his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This, of course, is alluding specifically and directly to what happens if you are not part of the kingdom of God. The unquenchable fire burns the chaff. You're no longer the wheat, you're the chaff. The separation of the wheat and chaff, of course, is spoken of by our Lord. Well, Jesus comes from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tries to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me." But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now think about this. Jesus descends into, as it were, the dirty water of the Jordan. And when he does, he comes up out of the water. And in doing that, there's a sense of what is going on as all of creation is going to be transformed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He comes and empties himself so that we might be filled. And this is not only what happens to the believer, but what happens to all of creation. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that creation now groans in travail. It is waiting for its liberation from bondage to decay. So Jesus Christ comes and he inaugurates a kingdom. And why, by the way, we're co-consummators of that kingdom. We work with Christ. We are Christians. We are those who proclaim what Christ has come to do to the world so that they may embrace Christ, be transformed by him, and their temple becomes the temple in which God himself dwells. I mean, this is what it means to be a Christian. It is not trite. It's transformational. And I love how chapter 3 ends, because you have the Trinity revealed by St. Matthew. You have the Holy Spirit that comes as a dove. This refers back to the very embryonic stages of the creation of the world. A lot to unpack there. you might want to look into this yourself because I only have about a minute left. But you have the Trinity revealed. You have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. You have a voice from heaven, and that voice is a loud voice that comes from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And of course, you have the Son of God. One person, two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. That Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, revealed in the baptism of Jesus Christ. Again, I'm just scratching the surface, and my intent is not to explicate all of what is here in terms of treasure, but to whet your appetite so that you cannot stay away from the Word of God. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When we come back next time, we're going to be talking about Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. An incredible passage of Scripture. Can't wait to get there. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.